The Lord be with you.
And also
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king, marching into battle, would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning.
We have a difficult gospel to handle today. And I think the big word that's sticking out probably in all of our minds is hate. Our Lord says, if anyone comes to me without hating his father, his mother, his wife and children, brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So what's going on here? I think we have to put this into context. Because number one, we know that our Lord and God himself, hate is kind of incompatible with him. Certainly evil is. Hating the evil would be a good thing, but hating that which is objectively good, hating one's father, mother, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters. We know that this is seemingly incompatible with our Lord because, after all, he is the King of Love, right? Our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, in his first encyclical as Pope, the whole world is kind of waiting. What would this new guy say as Pope? His first encyclical, what did he call it? Deus Caritas Est, God is Love. And he did a whole beautiful exhortation on love and how God is love by his very nature. Therefore, what's our Lord mean when he says that you can't be my disciple unless you hate your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even your own life? Well, when we look at this word and we analyze it and see what he means, he's not talking about an emotional kind of hate. And suffice it to say that we are, of course, called to love them. We are called to love everyone. What he's getting at is that he must have the highest priority in our lives. And that, if, God forbid, push come to shove, he needs to come out on top. He needs to win that battle. If, again, and God forbid that this should ever happen, but we know that it does, I know many of us have experienced it in our own lives where we have received some kind of resistance from perhaps mother, father, brother, sister, sons, daughters, our closest family and friends, who we are called to love. What the Lord is saying is he must have the highest priority. When push comes to shove, and again, God forbid that ever happen, or God prevent it from happening as much as possible in our own lives, but if and when that happens, that he needs to come out on top. He gives us these two parables today in the gospel about the Christian life. And this first one, about constructing a tower. Who would construct a tower without first sitting down and figuring out whether or not they have enough resources to finish it? Because how dumb would it be if you start building and then you can't finish? And then he says, similarly, a king going into battle. What king would not first figure out, before he engages in the battle, whether or not I can win? So So he gives us these two parables, and I would submit to you that these are parables of the Christian life. He's just told them that he needs to have the highest priority in their lives if they are truly to be his disciples. And then he gives them these two parables about the Christian lifestyle. And what is he saying to them and to us today? Don't even try to be a Christian. Don't, and please, certainly don't profess to be a Christian if you're not willing to do what it takes to live the Christian life. Because it is going to be a lot of work. It's going to be like building a huge tower. It's going to be like going into battle, and it is a battle, a spiritual one. Lord knows, and he knew when he was talking to his followers, and he knows when he's talking to us today, the last thing we need in this world are more people who call themselves Christians who are not. And certainly, more people who call themselves Catholics who are not. The Lord is saying, if you want to be my disciple, I will give you all of the grace, all of the strength you will ever need to be my disciple. It's going to be up to you to put that to use. But if you want to be my disciple, you need to give me the highest priority. And you need to make sure that you've done that before you embark on this Christian lifestyle. And he says this to you as much as he says this even to me as a priest. I often wonder, how much am I giving the Lord the highest priority? We know that often other things will get a higher priority. But the Lord is telling us, if we are to be successful in this Christian lifestyle, let's commit ourselves before we begin. And let's recommit ourselves each and every day to that building of the tower, to that going into war. Let's make sure that we are fully committed to this before we engage, and certainly before we profess to be a Catholic Christian. Something else that I need to say about this is, you know, our Lord takes nothing away from our relationships with those other people when we give him the highest priority. And it sounds kind of weird because you're saying, wait a minute, I'm supposed to love God. I'm supposed to give him a higher priority than even my spouse, my children, my brothers and sisters, my family. And the answer is a resounding yes, you are. You are. You are called, each and every one of us is called to love the Lord more than anyone else, and to give him a higher priority more than anyone else, to give him the number one priority. And what I'm getting at is, in doing so, there could be a fear that, well, that's going to take away from my relationship with these other people who, of course, are very important and very close to me in my life. But brothers and sisters, that doesn't happen. When we give the Lord the highest priority, we realize that he helps us to love those other people even more than we would be able to if we tried giving them the highest priority, as sometimes we do, well-intentioned enough. But we need to remember that the Lord deserves, requires, commands the highest priority in our life, and that anything short of that is gypping him that which is his right, depriving him of that which is his right to reign supreme in our lives. But I'm telling you, when we give him that highest priority, he takes nothing away from those other relationships. He helps us to love those people even more because we have given him the highest priority, because we love him at the top of our list. And again, I want to come back to this notion that the Lord did not come into the world to destroy families, to rip families apart, to rip good friendships apart. He didn't come to do that. He recognizes that in following him, there are going to be others who do not follow him, because, of course, we all have free will. And he knows that as much as he doesn't want this to happen, inevitably there will come in our lives occasions where we do receive resistance from those closest to us. Our own mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, best friends. we're going to receive sometimes resistance from them in our trying to do God's will. And the Lord is telling us that He doesn't like that. He doesn't want that to happen, but He's saying, if and when that happens, you need to be ready. I need to be ready to give the Lord the highest priority, to recognize that this is what it means, that we cannot shrink when push comes to shove, that the Lord needs to come out on top. The last thing I want to say is just a note about this second reading from St. Paul's letter to Philemon, one of the shortest books in the entire Bible. And in fact, this is the only time in the entire church year that you will ever hear a reading from the book of Philemon, because it is so short. In fact, it was because it's so short that in my Greek class, when our professor asked us which book we wanted to use to translate from, we all voted on this one, because this would be the easiest. So I am a little bit familiar with this, but I think we can turn to Paul here as an example of what the Lord is asking us to do. Onesimus was a slave of Philemon, and he ran away. And he went to Paul. Paul converted him to the faith and came to really love him as his own son. And as Paul is saying in this letter to Philemon, he refers to this former slave, Onesimus, as his child. He says, my own child, my very heart. And he's sending Onesimus back to Philemon, no longer as a slave, but as a brother. And we get this sense that it's really ripping Paul's heart apart, that he's really come to know this guy, to love him, to take him in as a son. And yet, he knows that this is what the Lord is calling him to do. This is what the Lord is calling Onesimus to do, to return to his former master, now his brother, Philemon. And we see that despite the personal connection that Paul has, it's not that Paul doesn't love this man enough. Paul loves him enough. It's that in loving him enough, Paul knows that God's will needs to be done. It's clear, it's evident, that Paul would love for him to be able to stay with him, to continue that relationship that they've developed as a father and as a son. But he recognizes the Lord's will that, you know, this is time for him to go back. And we can see in this Paul giving to God the highest priority. That even when he doesn't like what he thinks the Lord is asking him to do, he recognizes that this is God's will. This is what needs to be done. And he does it. So I would offer St. Paul to all of us as an example of how to have this detachment from not just the things of this world, certainly material possessions. And the Lord talks about that at the end. If you don't renounce all your material possessions, you cannot be my disciple. So not just material possessions, but even to be ready to give him a higher priority than our dearest friends and indeed our closest family members. And for those of us who have been in a position before where push came to shove, we know how painful it can be. And the Lord does not rejoice in that. The Lord does not want that. But the Lord knows that sometimes that's going to happen. And he's just reminding us today that if we are going to be Christians, if we are truly going to be his disciple, that's going to need to happen. He's going to need to have the highest priority in our lives. And that nothing can get in the way of our relationship with the Lord. Not even our spouses, our mothers or fathers, brothers or sisters, sons or daughters. Not even they can get in the way of our relationship with the Lord. And again, I'm going to say this one last time. He doesn't want that to happen. The Lord does not rejoice in pain and suffering. But he knows that free will as it is, it's going to happen. And he's just giving us this gentle reminder today to recommit ourselves constantly to him and to every day renew to him, Lord, I love you with my whole heart. You have the highest priority in my life. And if push comes to shove, you're going to win, Lord. So let's pray for the strength today that we may do that, that we may constantly recommit ourselves to the Lord, that we may give him the highest priority in our lives.